and simulcast with wolfspiritradio.com. Join JP, your tour guide today, on this journey of discovery from the known to the unknown in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth. Welcome, welcome to Journeys with JP here on Revolution Radio, a fully listener-supported station, and you can even get sort of tobacco and stuff. Buy some tobacco and make Mike happy, and enjoy yourselves. So, good evening, good afternoon, and good morning, wherever you might be. I have no guest today, so it's all according to you. If you wish to, I'm going to open up the chat room on Rev Radio. I often have to be really on the ball during Sean's show, so it kind of takes a bit of my attention away. Anyway, so I've got no set guests, so I am inviting telephone ins, Skype ins, all sorts of ins. If you want to come in by telepathy, I invited that. If you want a reading of some kind, or some kind of journey, maybe, this is Journeys with JP. Thank you very much, Fiona. That is lovely. It's really nice when I've got people in the studio and they make tea for themselves and then they make tea for me as well. And, that's a delight. And, there's a pile of paper that's building up with drawings all over. It's like cartoons. So maybe we gotta find a way of maybe even animating them or making a slideshow of these things. Cause, she's been doing, there's one, can you hand me a couple? Cause here's one, what's this? Stop me. So she's just been listening and doodling as she's been doing. So here's one that just says, stop what you're doing and listen. And, there's another one that says, oh my God, it's Sean David Morton, the color purple with reptilian eyes. And so there's all these cartoons that are kind of pouring out. Great. Thank you very much, Fee. This is, and thank you very much for the tea, Fee. Have a cup of tea, Fee. Anyway, so yes, readings of any kind whatsoever, or indeed, just if you want to come and have a chat for a change, I'm sure to take you somewhere beyond where you started. It might be, I tell you, it might be a bit of a trip. You know, like as Sean was saying, it was like an acid trip to go to Ireland. It's true. It was for me, it was like an ayahuasca trip, and it just took a hugely shamanic dimension. It was just amazing. So, anyhow. I would also like to ask everybody to send our brother Andrew Bartzis a huge heap load of love. Just he needs that right now. So bless his heart and his cotton socks and white socks. And if we can just have a moment of visualizing him in a very happy timeline. That's the best way of doing things, rather than what's wrong and all that. None of that. Anyway, so happy timelines for Andrew. So please, if you'd like to call in, I've got loads of numbers you can call into. I've even got a number you can call into to listen to my show now, because TalkStream Live relays Wolf Spirit Radio. So you can find the number. You can go to wolfspiritradio.com and you'll see it there, and you'll see the number. It's got a 432 in it, which is something that I really like. And also, oh yeah, why not? Our dear brother Brad in Australia has been beavering away in the background. He has at the 432 hertz site. If you don't know what 432 is, I'll explain in a second. But if you go to wolfspiritradio.com/tune. You'll see our website. Maybe I'll make it like retunetheworld.com or something like that. We haven't kind of come up, but Brad has assembled an incredibly beautifully laid out site that gives an idea of what the significance of this 432 is all about. And aside from the fact that it's like twice six cubed, you know, if you, you know, just kind of, all right, so six cubed is 216. You know, that's why, you know, these numbers are important, you know. Anyhow, six by six by six, yeah, all right, okay. Anyway, meanwhile, if you want, there now, I did get the number, and I just clicked away from it. Here we go. So if you want to listen to this, not on the internet, you can program this into your cell phone and listen to Wolf Spirit Radio anytime. When we're relaying Revolution Radio and things like that, which we do quite often. So the number is 712-432-9588. That's 712-432-9588. I'm really good at reading numbers. I used to do it for a living. Anyway, but you can also, at this moment, you can call in and speak to me. I've got 775-773-3431. And even if you're in the U of K, which is like, it's about 1 a.m. If you're in Europe, it's about 2 a.m. You know, if you're in Eastern Europe, it's about 3 a.m. What are you doing up? Go to bed. Anyway, over there. So we also have that. So we got a UK number, which is 0141-356-4141. 0141-356-4141. And yeah, got all these numbers. And then, of course, there's the Revolution Radio numbers, which are in this order. I've got the Studio B is 310-421-4053. That's 310-421-4053. Blimey. All these numbers. Why don't you call in, huh? I've given you all these numbers. Please, use one of these numbers and call in. Speak to me. I like to speak to people. There we go. Ha ha ha. Yeah, welcome on the, you're live on the air, Thomas, on many radio stations and things.
Okay.
Thomas Hughes, man of the moment. So, here we are at the time of the crossing. How was your eclipse? And tell me about the spider webs. What have the people been saying?
Who, me?
Yeah. Come on, you got some news.
I didn't know there was an eclipse, first of all. There's spider webs I'm not sure about. I don't know exactly what you're referring to.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, do you have any news for today? You're live on the air.
Yeah, I noticed. It's been interesting. I've been outside once today, and not once did I hear a single bird of any kind. It's really weird.
The day the birds went quiet.
Well, I've been asking people in other parts of the country or the world, and they haven't heard me either. It's really weird.
That reminds me, I haven't put my chickens away. Did I put my chickens away? Do you want to check my chicken?
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm not going to say anything more, but we're just checking on the chickens, because I can't remember putting them away. I'm sure I did. I'm sure I said goodnight to them. Oh,
I hope you did.
So anyway, they were clucking away as they normally do, quite cheerfully today. But what do you feel? Is like, is the whole world holding its breath? Are we waiting with bated breath? Is this what you're saying, Thomas?
I wouldn't know to frame it that way, but yeah, it's like Gandalf said in the third Lord of the Rings, it's the deep breath before the great plunge.
In the chat room there it says, the Twin Towers smoking and steaming, to continue the Lord of the Rings thing, yeah.
Yeah, it's it's interesting to watch it all break down, especially all the stuff going on between India and Pakistan and things going on over there. It's really interesting.
Yeah, in the chat, Wolf Spirit chat room, Vingage, 1945, this person is correct. The birds are acting very odd. And she's a bird woman. She knows, she says. Yes.
Oh, there you go.
She noticed it the other day and been wondering what's going on. Please. Actually, Vingage, do you want to call in? I gave all the numbers out. Come on, do you want me to call in again? To call them out again. But yes, that's a very interesting factor. Things have moved, haven't they? Timelines have shifted.
Well, and I like Mary Greeley's latest video on her YouTube page, where she shows the geysers at Yellowstone are now putting off a charcoal gray steam instead of a white steam like they usually would. They're putting off charcoal gray steam.
A charcoal gray steam.
Yeah,
now,
like something in the steam that shouldn't be there.
Or that didn't used to be there, but is now.
Yes.
That has kind of leaked through.
Maybe high amounts of sulfur or something, I'm not sure.
Well, charcoal grain would be carbon, maybe, you know. Some sort of, or you never know. Just volcanic dust, maybe glass dust. You never know, it's horrible. Yeah, come on, Vingage. Cool, and you got the JP invite.
Well, what's really funny to me is WSO does their videos, and they shown one today. I put it on my Facebook wall. They're talking about all the people that are getting lots of red in their photographs because there's more iron oxide in the air all around this planet than there used to be. And I'm like, well, when you look at the progression of the cycles, it's golden age, then silver age, then it goes down to the copper age, and then the brass age, and then it goes down to the iron age. And that's the end of the age of Pisces. We're ending the iron age on the age of Pisces, ending at the same time. Why do you think there's so much iron oxide? Makes sense, doesn't it?
And then the rivers go red because of iron oxide in the water.
Exactly.
So, iron. With that down to iron, but we go to the golden age again, don't we, after this? Please don't. Yeah. Please say that.
We start over again. We start over the brand new cycle, brand new age. All this riffraff will be gone. We're not doing it like this again.
Go ahead.
I don't know who left this sad bunch in charge. We're going to find out. We're going to have a long talk with them.
So, yeah, so what's going on with the rest of it then?
Not a whole lot. Just, I talked to my friend in Los Angeles last night, and she was really very excited. First time I ever heard her excited like that. Usually she's pretty downplay about things, but she was so excited because We're finally going, she kept saying, we're going, it's been decided we're going. I'm like, okay. And I've seen all sorts of evidence of it today with, you know, the geysers at Yellowstone, the things that happened on the news. And it's been nuts today.
Some people say Yellowstone looks normal from the cams. Well, and also, if you're ringing in, I don't know what number you're ringing into, where from? Yeah, that might be the call to listen number. To call in, if you got Skype, it's easy. Freedom Screen. Actually, Freedom Screen 2. That's better. Otherwise, you'll be calling into Lorian Fenton's Super Soldier Talk thing. Yeah, meanwhile. But, yes. So, 775, 773, 3431 is probably your best bet. That would do the thing. That would be the thing, number, if you're in the Americas.
They'd enjoy talking to her. They'd enjoy talking to a bald hobbit and a crippled Sasquatch a lot better, I think.
So, there's been some Sasquatch activity. Max Steele has been talking to the Sasquatch as well. He's been, clumping it. So, what's going on?
Oh, well, I don't have very much contact with the Sasquatch right now because they're so busy. I mean, they're literally busy. I mean, I would use the phraseology for that, but we're on Revolution Radio, so I can't use his words, you know.
Listen, bro, if we were alone together on Wolf Spirit Radio, just the 20,000 of us, you know, you could say it, but here we go. Anyway. But, yeah, lots of people are getting anxious, antsy, feeling...
Well, I can use abbreviations. I'll just put this way, in the Sasquatch world, right now, everything is a-holes and elbows. Does that work?
Well, I can use those odds, yeah.
Yeah. That way I don't say the actual bad words, but everything is a-holes and elbows. I mean, it's nuts right now. I don't even have time to answer a question or even say hello.
Well, so no news really, apart from the fact that they're not giving you any.
No, nope, it's I'm a full motion.
I'm trying to keep the flow going here, man.
I know. I don't know what flow there is right now.
Yeah, well, we don't have too much of that kind of flow. The phlegm flow. But, anyway, look, we're moving into a new dimension of some kind. The timelines are shifting, and I think we can, if we keep holding on to the best of everything, you know, the happiest timeline, the happiest ideas about people, you can't really go wrong. I keep saying that, you know, the feelings of today are the realities of tomorrow.
Yeah, let's say you have 10 picture cards that you can line out in front of you to basically describe your life. 10 picture cards. A car, a person, a house, you know, all those, pictures. And at the end of this, nine out of ten of those pictures are going to be in your life, somehow. That's where we're going.
Nine out of ten.
At least 9 out of 10. We get 9.5 out of 10. I don't know.
I'd prefer 12, wouldn't you?
Well.
Over unity. Yeah.
But some people need something to work for. You know how it is. They got an itch and they have to scratch, you know.
So.
You look more like one of the dwarfs on the movie The Hobbit. And
Thank you.
How short are you again?
Huh?
How short are you again?
I think you've got about a foot on me. You're 6'8", aren't you?
I'm 6'7".
6'7". Oh, only 11 inches then. Not that much. Oh, says the person you're trying to call is not available. Huh. Well, are you on Skype? You can try using Skype. Wolf Spirit Radio. That would work, on Skype. You can try. But I might have to log in over here. Ah, oh, it's such a hassle. It usually works fine. I don't know what's going on today. Yeah, thanks for that idea, Thomas. I'll have you drawn over the coals later for that.
Come on, man.
Come on, people, call me, just like, because Thomas is about to reach the other end of his 50-50%. How are you doing in terms of 50-50? Are you kind of, you know?
I'm doing the best I can. I'm not really trying hard to be nice, but I'm not trying hard to be obnoxious or anything, you know?
Yeah, that's better. Don't try to be anything. Just be your cuddly self.
Yes.
Cuddly, hairy, moss-ridden, slightly sweet-smelling.
Oh, well, it must have been some people just strike me the wrong way. Good, Thomas.
So, meanwhile, JP's not short. You're tall. Yeah, you are taller. And we are taller when we rise in the morning. Yes. It's nice. It's nice. Hey, Tracy, why don't you come in? Because, have you made it up with Tracy yet?
It's been years,
isn't it?
Well, it's been quite a while.
It's been a long time.
I don't know if she could handle me or not.
I don't know. I wonder if Tracy can handle you. That would be
interesting. I've gotten bigger.
You've gotten bigger. Skype to call in again. I think it's actually Wolf Spirit Radio. Spirit Radio. Or you can try mine, which is personal thing. Thank you, Vanessa, who always types exactly the same thing as me. I shouldn't need to type because Vanessa will do it for me. I love you. Thank you. Ha ha. Ah, now look. Here's somebody that everybody understands. Ragmeister!
Oh, I don't see him.
Here he is. No, there he isn't. No, he's not. He was here. His icon is here, but his presence is not. He's like, let's try calling him in. See, it lights up and then it'll go out. Skype is useless. Skype has become totally useless.
He's still lit up.
He's lit up. Are you there? Are you there, lad?
Good evening, JP.
Ah, there you are.
I join you once again from Ede, in the middle of Holland.
In the middle of Holland, and you are 2:00 and 23 minutes, yes?
Exactly. 21, my PC says.
Yeah, mine is on Windows time, which does seem to be 2 minutes out from everybody else's time. It's really strange. You try it. You synchronize with one clock, you synchronize with the other clock, and they're different.
Do you know what's fun, JP?
I know lots of things that are fun.
Time,
what? Sorry?
Do you know what's fun? Because your time is different as my time, yet we are both on Windows time, yet when you are out of sync with time, you are ahead of time.
If you're in no time, that's the best time to be. Shari.
Well, you can be in three times, but it depends.
Yeah. Wait a minute, Ragmeister. Hold back. We have a little voice that actually looks like a knitted puppet. But, good evening, Shari. How are you?
Hello. I'm well. How are you?
Well, I'm here with some of the heavyweights of the alternative scene. You know where you used to be the old guard of weirdness is now the new normal. These are the new weird. Yeah, beyond the new normality. So I imagine
might I say she sounds quite like an elf.
A nymph. Sherry, are you a nymph?
She sounds like an elf.
Or an elf. A nymph or an elf? Are you from the National Elf Service? If you're
I
in Canada,
it.
You'll
I
get
love.
It. So meanwhile...
what is she?
Well, you can address her directly, Thomas.
Well, I how short are you, Sherry?
Say that again?
He's
how
asking
short
you,
are you?
How short you
oh,
are.
I'm 4'11".
Sherry is microscopic. She's from the sea. We come in different scales. When I came to this planet, I was 16 of your feet tall. And look at me now.
Those same Miami shirts.
You know, it's like the gravity here is just a mess. Nobody told us about it. I used to be taller. I have trouble drinking.
But the thing is, I can fit on a plane and go to sleep in two seats. I could go to sleep in a sauna.
I know, it's really useful having
it. Cheaper, it's less fabric.
It's
I
really
use less
hey, I
want resources.
Hey, I once fit the back seat of a Honda Prelude. Don't ask me how, but I managed to get the back seat of a Honda Prelude.
But did it hurt?
Yes, a little bit, but I made it.
I could live in the back of one, I'd be fine.
You could live in the glove box.
it's fun. I like small spaces. Everything is easier to clean. There's not much going on, you know? I don't need as much real estate as you guys.
You know, we could base an entire civilization on people like you. Oh, sorry, it's Japan. Anyway, meanwhile, hi. It's good to have you on the show. Thank you for you're coming out of your sheltered accommodation box. And it's as you know, I have to say, Sherry posed me the most serious political and conspiracy stuff on the back channels there, and so it's not there's no bimbo here. This is a serious reporter. Maybe one day you'll have your own show.
Mm. That's the thing. You really do need to put one face to the public and know what you're doing with that behind the scenes. You know?
Kind of like the John Oliver show.
Hmm?
Kind of like the John Oliver show.
John Oliver. Is that funny guy?
Yes.
Yes, that funny English guy.
Yes, yes. You know, I worked in politics and government for many years. I understand there's, you know, what's seen and then what's done to get to that place. It's planned in advance. So characters are created, personas are worn, and it's interesting. You know, those people, it's theater. So everybody has a caricature of what they're trying to possess so they can possess. Very interesting, really.
Yeah.
So tonight you've got this thing they call the president. Hang on a second. Let me just get the right thing. The presidential debate.
Lex Luthor versus the Joker. I think that's the only way I can look at it.
Really?
Right? Really. I mean...
That's very nice of you to say that... I mean, Hillary Clinton is only as evil as Lex Luthor. I'm sure you could have, you know, she could...
Right.
That's very kind of you. I think that's very kind.
I would have a simple formulation about Clinton versus Trump would be the current establishment versus the Templar group. What would all of the people on this call think about that? Including the info I gave JP about a specific past life possible event that relates to the same.
You expect me to remember these things? Why don't you lay it out,
JP,
my style? Lay it out.
Even though my audio is cutting out, as I'm on the internet of my neighbor of two floors below, so I try to follow what you were saying, even though my audio is cutting out. But yes, do you remember the info, JP, I gave you about the possible past life event about Templar in Ireland?
To be honest, Rob, people have been sending me a lot of stuff, and it all gets kind of ground up and minced up into some sort of mental hamburger that I carry around with me as the thing that I call my memory. So, to be honest... No. So, if you would explain it as if nobody has heard it, as if nobody has heard it before, because, like, nobody's heard it before, okay?
Okay. Maybe I'll do a trigger memory keyword. It was a Scottish Rite and Restoration keyword.
Well, keep going. Just tell everybody what it's about. That, you know, it's not an in-joke. It's like, you've got to tell people what it's about. It's your job. Tell it now.
We have to reopen our Skype conversation with the info I sent to you. But it had to do with a past life from you, maybe the most recent. I don't know, 1700 something. It had to do with about Scottish Rite Ireland. And the person who started it was the one also... had to do about the restoration, about the Templar Creed, which indirectly relates to the Love One. And the distortion versus the restoration, which you seems to indicate represented. And no, not from Holland, not from Finland, from Holland, the Netherlands. And JP asked me one time, do you remember who you were in Egypt? I don't remember, but I do feel. So maybe it all blends together.
So, okay, so what you're putting across here is that there was degradation and then a restoration, which I believe I've pulled off. Is that correct? Because from all the indicators, as to what happened, we've done what needed to be done. And it now can't be undone and is spreading everywhere I call it the love virus. I like that idea. It's like, you know, most of these viruses, they put you into fear. This is the opposite. It makes you, turns you into love, makes everything golden and rainbowy.
It's mystical chlamydia.
Oh, mystical chlamydia. The STD of spirituality. Yeah.
We can only hope.
Yeah. Well, look, no, this is what's happening, you see. There's a large amount of light that's pouring on the planet, and this is what they've been trying to web down with all these chemtrails and artificial snow and all this crap that they're throwing in the sky to try and damp it down, but it's like, it's stupid.
So especially for you, JP, do you wanna know what was from 25 July 2016, which is still very recent, and it's only on my screen, half a screen, which relates to the question you had.
Go ahead.
Do you remember the word where you said on 25 July it was something like Carl von something?
Ah, Carl von Wittemeyer.
Von Wittemeyer. Also now the last name does ring up.
All right, which is like, it was interesting because my friend who is here with me lives in a place, or used to live in a place called Whitemeyer, which is the same as Wittemeyer. It's the anglicized version of it. Anyway.
It's like maybe it's a follow-up of the same information.
So, meanwhile, at Castle Wittemeyer...
which would be the continuation of the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry, the oldest Masonic lodge, providing shelter for the Templars, 14th century Scotland. Knights Templar, Baron Karel van Hoend, 18th century. So what you talk about is the follow-up of the same, I guess in the beginning 19th century. Compiled research on the Templars called the Scottish Light Lodges. According to him, 8 prominent Templars fled to Ireland and then to Scotland, where they organized, and then they were soon active again in many countries. But Scotland became the new stronghold from which they based their operational headquarters. Baron Karel van Hoend, the creator of the Great Masonry, known as the Rite of Strict Observance, was responsible for adding the Templar legend to the craft. Von Hoend's Rite of Strict Observance spread throughout Europe, including parts of Switzerland, and even as far as Russia. And there is no doubt that the Order of the Temple of the Highest of Kivalerik, Order of the York Rite, and the Knights of Kadosh, well, maybe I don't like that name, I add myself to it, because that relates to Archangel Michael, but it's a different story, of the Scottish Rite, owe a great allegiance to the legends first put forth by von Hoend Rites of Strict Observance. And that became known all around the world and was accepted in 1717 in all operative lodges. Summarizing it, where the next one continues, which is already spoken about you.
So it preceded 1776 by 6 years, yeah? So was this a precursor?
You are most likely better at dates than I am.
I have no idea. I don't remember all this stuff. but there you go. So there's this Templar connection. It's very interesting. Scotland is an interesting place. Ireland was just a... It just goes deeper, in a way. It's like coming to Scotland was going into something broad and wide and deep and high, And Ireland was like going even deeper and broader and higher, but in a smaller place. It was just the whole time warp thing of it. We didn't look at time. We didn't look at direction. We just went. It was brilliant.
JP, if you could go anywhere in the world, where is it that you want to go?
Right now, I want to go to my bed.
Astral travel. anywhere, you know, no money, no, it doesn't matter. Where is that place that you are seeking?
Where are you?
I'm in New York.
Yeah, let's go New York. Okay. Manhattan. Are you in Manhattan?
I just moved out of Manhattan, but.
Did you? Because, you know, when you said where would you like to go, I heard Manhattan in my head.
I lived there for 26 years.
Alright, so you'd be able to be a tour guide.
For sure.
Yeah? Yeah. Well, you know, if you could figure out a way of getting me over there and you could, you know, tour me around for a while, I'd be happy to evolve with you.
Let's do it.
It would be a wild time, I tell you. You'd have to trust. And it's a hard thing to do that in Manhattan, isn't it?
You can do nothing but trust. When you walk out your door, you are at the mercy of... I can't even explain it. You know, the wind carries you away and anything can happen. Anything can happen in that city. It's, you live in the moment and you're alone in a crowd of billions. It's great. You know, anything can happen in that city.
And if you're walking with a friend?
You could lose them. You could find new friends. You could make better friends. It's just the stories that come out of a night on the town or a day. It's a great place to explore yourself in a weird way. Yeah.
Your own response to it.
Because you're all alone in a crowd. It's a different way to live. You're in your own head when there's thousands of people around and you have to react split second, you know, not to get killed on the street and everything. Yeah, it's very exciting. It's very interesting people there.
I'm sure I'd probably bump into people all the time because I'll be like, oh, wow, sorry. Looking at all the buildings and thinking, hey, I've seen that film. Oh, man, yeah, I've seen that film. And it's like a kind of weird sort of cinematic deja vu experience.
That's exactly why I moved out. Everybody does that. Everybody's...
So there's all these people milling around going, like, looking like Hillary Clinton.
Well, what happens is you're in a Woody Allen movie. When you wake up, you say, oh, she has coffee. She sees the cigarette with the lipstick next to the bed. Where did he go? She has to get to work, her pantyhose. You're living this weird film as you're on your way to work. You're in the subway. You're staring at your feet. You're not to make eye contact with anyone in the subway. You just don't. There's protocol, you know, and you're living in this weird pseudo, am I here? Am I there? Are they watching me? Am I watching them? It's a very strange, you have to remember everybody's, you know, on drugs or a sociopath or, you know, everyone's driven there for a reason. You don't wind up there by accident. Everybody's living that, you know, reality very heavily and it bleeds into each other and it's very bad energy. It's really hard.
Cherie?
Yeah.
Have you ever, like been on a bus or something and gone through Times Square and like accidentally seen all the old grindhouse theaters from like the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that?
Yeah, I took a bus route. I used to, actually I went to Scotland. I work for the largest landmine clearance, Halo. And, I used to take my bus to work that way every day. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't imagine what it would have been like in Times Square with all the grindhouse theaters. I'm sure that would have been fun.
The history is layered. You could go into any dimension in Manhattan. You could be in the 40s. You could be in the 20s. You could be in an Indian reservation. It's a very interdimensional city. It's got all the dead people still there. You can be there in a minute. You could be in a speakeasy. You could be in the towers in the Waldorf. The stories, you know...
So some place you don't want to be in the middle of the day or late at night is somewhere down like in Tudor City.
I used to live a block away from Tudor City. That's between Grand Central and the UN. Yeah. It's definitely a magical city. It will eat you up and spit you out. It's like no other. The people there, it's definitely something to visit just to see, but yeah.
Houston is kind of the same way in certain parts, not to the same scale New York is, but yeah, when I lived in Houston, it was interesting to say the least.
I mean, 9/11, I worked for Bear Stearns, and when the towers came down, I worked there for a month. I was there early, and you know, we saw what happened on TV, and I sat at my desk and I looked at her and I said, now, this is Martha Stewart's and Michael Jackson's banker. Okay, these are very important people I used to work with. And she said, no, now that it's quiet, we're going to get some work done. And she made me work on the ottomans to her Palm Beach mansion until 3 that afternoon. I found out I lost my cousin in Tower 1 at Cantor Fitzgerald. She made me go to work the next day, even though Giuliani closed Midtown. That's what's in Manhattan. That's the norm. And I didn't know she was a sociopath at the time. It's the first one I ever met, not the last. But, you know, it's dangerous to be around people that smile and stab you at the same time, you know?
Reptilian 101.
Yeah, yeah. I learned very slowly, I didn't get it because I was so innocent and I was so honest. You know, I saw them stealing. I saw them doing things. And, you know, I was actually a whistleblower. They fired me.
That brings up another interesting question I have for you, Jerry, if you don't mind.
Mm-hmm.
Aside from the comedy and the other stuff that's put in there to make the movie, how accurate is The Wolf of Wall Street?
Oh, it's accurate. It's quite accurate.
Thank you. Thank you. It was.
I've met presidents. I've set up these parties. I have... It's quite accurate. Yeah. You know, I haven't seen movies or watched TV in a very, very long time, many, many years, but I was passing by, I think, the TV and I saw some of that. Maybe somebody else was watching it and it rang very true to me. Yeah. And that's why I say to you, those people are very removed from living the way we do. Every night is a party. Every night is a very fancy, very long, detailed party. And that's the focus, and the focus is taking what the other person has. It's a big chessboard. It is literally a chessboard, and people trade girlfriends, boats, real estate, companies, blood, you know, like what, you know, whatever it is. It's a game. It's a really, really wild game that they play.
We used to have, when I worked at the Tops Club in Houston, we used to have about once a month, we'd have five high rollers from New York come in, and they drop about $10,000 on the club every month without fail.
Yeah. I mean, I can say it because it's all out. I wouldn't want to give too much away, but I mean, I refueled Air Force Two with an Amex card at Andrews. You know, like, you know, I had to swipe the card. I had to find out if I could swipe it. That was privately paid for. You know, like, it's crazy. It's crazy what's happening. And the thing that, you know, I have to tell you, they don't really understand the other side of it. They don't really know maybe what they're doing and how they're hurting people. They really don't. They're not all nuts, cruel. They're just removed, really removed from seeing what life is in a grind, you know, and because some of them did start out, you know, working really hard and making it on their own. So they're like, well, you know, I did it. Why can't you? But they don't understand what's happened and what they've done, how they've made it completely impossible for others to want to be on Earth. They don't, most of them don't know what's happened. They really don't. You know, the ivory tower, the very, very, they have food. They've never been hungry. They've never been afraid. They're afraid of failing, you know, or not competing properly, but that's different.
Yeah.
When you're looking at rent in the street and, you know, electricity or medicine, they don't know that. They don't know that. And I think that's the disconnect. I think that's a really big problem right there. I think they might care if they knew. I really do. I can only hope.
Well, if we keep going with this the way it's going, they're all going to find out soon enough, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know how they kept it from imploding as long as I have, but they've managed to keep it from imploding.
I think that's what they call black magic, isn't it?
Pretty much.
I think it's so important when it all falls that we really love them. Nobody would do that if they had a choice not to. I don't know what this all is and how this all really went down or why, but I know nobody, you know, up in heaven before they sign that contract says, you know, this is going to be the best thing and, you know, fun. And it's like nobody would want these lives with all the mansions and the yachts and everything else. These people are so unhappy, you know. And so when they lose it all, I want to be there for them and let them know they're totally loved. It's not about what you had. We never cared. You know, it's like when you find a dog and you try to make sure that he doesn't bite you because he's so afraid, and you just, you know, you go slow. And I think we really need to show these people that they're beautiful inside and they never had to try that hard and hurt everyone around them and us. Because I'm too tired. I have no issue about revenge or wanting anything anybody else has. I mean, it's all got to just stop. You know, we just say, we're sorry. Let's just have a party. I want that galactic party. I want to be in on that catering, you know, where the whole universe is like, oh my God, we all did it. With Andronicus, I mean, really, I'm talking the whole, everybody.
I'm looking forward to the canopy tray. I mean, I love little snippets from various different races. You know, that's great to me. That's, especially if they're fried. Because, you know, no matter what it is, if it's fried, it'll be fine.
Yeah. It's gonna be canopy from Venus. Fried tempura from Cirrus, the moons of Cirrus. This is what I'm aiming at, is that party. I hope I can make it. I hope my body can survive the chemtrails and we can transmute all this stuff and that we can make it. I want to see this party, you know, and if I'm 80 lying in bed, you know, I just want to be here for it. I'm nervous that I'm so close and yet so far. I can't figure out where that is. Will I make it?
I'm sorry, we're not going to be in these bodies when this happens. I can assure you of that.
You think? Okay.
I know.
All right, then the hell, I'm eating Oreos right now because I'm an organic vegan and I want to eat.
Throw caution to the wind.
Yeah,
blow those credit cards.
Yeah, like forget it. Like let me just, you know, because I always say when I'm 90, I'm going to, you know, try heroin and, you know, like all that stuff. Why not? So if I know I'm going early, yeah, I have a list of things I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm. I'm 46 years old. I'm in the final stages of multiple sclerosis. And I tried ecstasy for the first time. It's the only thing that's ever taken the pain away from the multiple sclerosis. Go figure.
Bravo. Bravo. That's pretty daring. Bravo. Yeah. I have Epstein-Barr. It's the same virus. 280 million people have Epstein-Barr. If you have mono, you have Epstein-Barr. If you have Crohn's, colitis, multiple sclerosis, Hashimoto's, or Lyme disease, you've got Epstein-Barr. And it goes in four stages. And it gets bad.
Is that a kind of, could you characterize it as a form of poisoning of some kind?
I believe this was created by ill-bred ETs. It's a very smart virus. It starts out in one organ. It waits 10 years and it hides and it tricks another organ and then it moves. Its ultimate goal is to hit the thyroid and the nervous system. And it takes years, and it hides. It's miraculous. It had to have been,
engineered.
Yeah, I think it was engineered, and it was put around the 30s, the 1900s, or, you know, for this time, so that they knew in the chemtrails, and that was all in the ancient scriptures and everything else, they knew that they would hit us hard. So when I'm constantly in pain, I wake up, I have to throw up, you know, it's, but I will not stop. You will not stop me. I mean, until my last breath, I'm not going to stop, you know, trying to make sure that we all turn towards loving each other through the pain, through hating that I know this was done to me, and through a shortened life, through a life that's not the one I want. that I can't go walking in the woods and do all the things that I want to do, I will not stop loving whoever created it. You know what I mean? It's got to go all the way back to what JP says. Lyra, forgiveness. I am Draco. I am, Simon Parks told me, I'm Draco Reptilian. Made perfect sense to me. My whole life made sense after that.
That's why you're so smart.
That's why I'm so what?
So smart.
Thank you.
I'm Sasquatch. That's why I'm so big large.
Oh, I was out talking to you today. I was leaving garlic and apples for your people.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
How delightful.
I hear garlic and elderberry is what they like to keep their antioxidant levels high.
That and salt.
Salt? Okay.
Yes, because it's not easily accessed.
Yeah. Yeah, no, JP opened me up to everything psychically wonderful I think had been hidden away for a long time, so... Yeah, that whole Draco thing. Yeah, I came here from the most angry family in all the multiverse. Imagine what I had to transmute. Just imagine. It's my job to make sure we have to love every, you know, the Archons, what I've done now is I dress them in pink tutus and put them in a baby carriage. Then I call in the grandmothers, whoever, those grandmothers from JP show, and we baby them and they don't like it and they go away. You know, I think love can do wonderful things in weird ways.
That's marvelous. That's kind of very much along the lines of what we've been doing is just basically whoever's in front of you, just be in love with them and fall in love. Just be in love. Mm. Don't have to fall. I want to talk about the fall in a minute. But anyway, just to love everybody, look everybody in the eyes and call them by their name and, you know, say it in a loving way. It doesn't cost a penny. Not a cent.
It does freak people out, JP. It freaks people out, you know that, because people that are really hurt when you do that, they get weirded out. They look at you and they're like, what do you want? Why are you near me? It's weird.
Well,
it's
then you walk away and a few years later you come back, having triggered them. And they say, wow, you remember what you did? Yeah, no? Sorry? Oh, yeah, I remember you. Because you can do that. It takes very little time. And people remember for a long time.
Oh, I just walk away and let them think I'm crazy and just keep doing it and let them know it's a happy place to be. You can be crazy. You are allowed to talk to yourself. You are allowed to paint on your walls if you want to. You're allowed to dig a hole and stare at worms. It doesn't matter if you're an adult. You're allowed to be silly. You should be. And you just should be. So if people think I'm crazy because I'm offering something that makes them uncomfortable, it's okay. I just talk to myself and, you know, walk away and just, you know, enjoy that I did something that was the right thing. That's all we can do.
So there we go. Reptilian lives are hard and harsh. Mm. And I don't know, there's a sense, see, every race that we are comprised has its trauma. You know, I've been talking a lot about the Lyran trauma, but there's also the reptilian trauma, which seems to be somewhere about being abandoned.
It's my whole family. When I talked to Simon about that, I mean, it was so amazing. And that whole week of Anu was everywhere in my life. We were together walking in the sun. I heard him and then Simon was talking and like a bunch of people on your show were talking that just that one week. And then he went and he told me he was leaving. That was it. Goodbye. And then he left us all. But it's this trauma that I've lived with my whole life, my family, order, competition, be the best, be the smartest, it never made sense to me. Why? I don't like competition and I don't care what anyone else has. And so I came in as the black sheep, but I understand it all. And there was real trauma. And that's why I say, please, these bankers and all these people that are doing this, just let them be. Give them what they want. Let's hug them. Let's invite them to the party. Let's show them that they could have had the fun the whole time. They just didn't know. Because when I found all this out, I was so furious, I thought, I don't know if we can curse, you'll have to bleep me. I thought the whole fucking universe is children in a sandbox?
Beep. Sorry.
Yeah. You know, like,
this we're on Studio B. Nobody ever listens to us anyway. Okay. Anyway, go on.
But you know, like, we're in a sandbox. We're children in a sandbox in a galactic level that's been going on for so long. No. No more. Yeah, no more. Because it's boring. It's boring, and I just keep telling the reptilians, you should be embarrassed. We laugh at you. You're boring. To have all that power and all that, it's... We're laughing at you, and we don't want to laugh at you, so you have to change.
Yeah, we can show you a lot more creative ways of using the facilities that you have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they won't be sort of boring looking anymore, as you say.
It's embarrassing. Have a party. Throw a damn party. Throw each other in the pool. Get drunk. Do something, you know, go to a planet and do something. Run around naked. Do something daring and go to a planet and free it. And just to see what the hell happens. You know, let go of that need to hold on to the fear of being abandoned. And I do have that in my life, but it's a weird thing, you know, and I'm taking that with me every day. It's like, you know, this heavy burden. I'm like, how am I transmuting this? I'm all alone in this world. Why am I alone? And I'm, you know, trying to get in touch with that because when I go back home,
all right. Okay. Shari, I just posted it 8 hours ago on my very Facebook page. Can I read this to you?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to kick your ass. All right. It's going to kick everybody's ass. All right. So, number one, anything that annoys you is for teaching you patience. Anyone who abandons you is for teaching you how to stand up on your own two feet. Anything that angers you is for teaching you forgiveness and compassion. Anything that has power over you is for teaching you how to take your power back. Anything you hate is for teaching you unconditional love. Anything you fear is for teaching you courage to overcome fear. And anything you can't control is for teaching you how to let go and trust the universe. Thank you, Jason. Jackson Kiddard, whatever he is.
Nick in the nicotine. Yes, here we are, journeying with JP. Who's left in the car? Oh, we've lost Shari. Thomas, where are you going?
I'm hanging in there.
You're hanging in there, brother.
I did.
What's going on?
Same stuff, different day.
You know what? I've been introduced to some new technology.
Yeah.
It's the ionic toothbrush. It's incredible. My teeth are beginning to feel like the pearls that they used to be. It adds a positive charge. This is the second time I've come across this concept, right? And I'll talk about the other one in a minute. Because that was quite an interesting little story. But the ionic toothbrush adds a positive charge to your teeth as you run the brush over. You hold obviously the negative end, and you get a positive charge on your teeth. And it loosens the plaque like nothing else. It just kind of lifts it right off. It's wonderful. My teeth feel sharp again. You know, it's really strange. What's that? No toothpaste required. It lasts for 2 or 3 years, and then you just use water. So it's...
And more fluoride.
No fluoride required either. Your teeth are like pearls again. So, I'm not saying my teeth are like pearls because, I drink a lot of tea. So I'm gonna need to, take them down a layer and then use some, peroxide on the ultraviolet light thing. And see if I can get American teeth. I always admire American people with their wonderful, perfect teeth. Look at you. A whole nation of people with perfect teeth. Where did all the dentists come from? Who made your teeth perfect like that? Something to think about. Ah, there you are. Ha ha.
Ha ha. You're sure you're gonna come back.
Uh-huh. So, I don't know, where are you going, Joe? Call him. I think she came in, how did she come in? She might come in by phone. Let me see if I can, bring her back in.
Somebody else looks like
there we go, let's see. Let's see what's going on with Shari.
Sure.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Did you think you would slope away and leave us sort of abandoned?
Yes.
Yeah. So anyway.
You're short, but you're not that sneaky. Okay.
So here's the thing, you know, the abandonment, right? There, you wanted to do that. Ah, slope away. Uncomfortable. Uncomfortable, and there you go. And we caught you. See?
Thank you for pulling me back in.
Facing it.
Yeah.
Facing it. Facing those uncomfortable feelings. Because, you know, this is what it's all about. We have to, you know, Pleiadians have to be friendly with the reptilians. We have to make up and be friends again. And work together. And not, and that goes for the Pleiadian part of us and the reptilian part of us.
Do we all have Pleiadian? I guess yes, we do, yes.
Yeah, we've made mincemeat of each other and we've hybridized and, reptilianized and humanized and back and forth until we're just a kind of great big meaty hamburger. Meat popsicle, you call that, isn't it?
I was going to say, most humans are like a good old-fashioned English meat pie. On the outside, it's a beautiful golden specimen, but underneath it's just a hot, bubbling mess.
Thank you for those delightful images, Thomas. Thomas Hughes, ladies and gentlemen. Thomas Hughes.
That's what it is. Tell me I'm wrong.
So meanwhile, yes. So this is the time when we've all got a kind of, as you're saying, Shari, it's a very important thing to say, is that we have to express love. Whatever we're faced with, we've got a choice of being an idiot or expressing love. Okay. Being an asshole or just not being an asshole by being loving. You know, it costs nothing. It costs you maybe a tiny notch of pride. How much does a notch of pride cost anybody?
It's very expensive to be the other. I was that other person for most of my life. So I see both sides of that. It's the hardest thing to get to say, you know, I'm wrong about everything and now I have to be nice and love everyone when I'm so freaking angry. It's a weird thing to get to. You spend your life trying to figure that one out. I mean, I think I've been pretty successful, but how do you do that with people who aren't awake and are just still so angry? It's hard to reach in and try to help, and you can't really do that because you can also fall in.
You were just right earlier on. It's like you're dealing with a scared, traumatized animal. And it takes a really special heart to deal with scared, traumatized animals. I mean, people who understand what it's like to be scared and traumatized, for a start, are the most gentle people that you know, no matter how tall or big or strong they might be. They've learned gentleness through the trauma that they've experienced.
Yep.
It's true. It's true. And there's a lot of jealousy, believe it or not. You know, you're angry, you can't figure out why you're angry. You know, people aren't bad inherently. And there's jealousy seeing happy people. Some people were sent here without issues. Some people maybe weren't trapped here. They were sent here just to bring that vibration up. And you look at them and you say, well, you know, how can you be in that place? And it just causes jealousy. I think they probably have geared it to do that, actually. And then they hook you right in. You are kind of, as soon as you get that feeling, and then you get, you know, your trigger, you know, and then it goes in a cycle. So if you don't wake up to even know any of this, how do you even combat it? Which is, I worry for people, you know, I think about that when I lay in bed at night, you know, these people that are in trauma, is there another lock, an unlocking that's going to happen, I hope, for them? Because I don't know that we can do that for them.
Well, this is the whole aim, really, is to understand how it all gets locked in. It's a bit like, you know, origami things where you kind of fold something over and then fold it over again and it locks it. Mm. And it's learning how to unlock those little spirals that are locked in to our psyche.
I just want to say this.
Yeah,
everybody gets to die one more time. whether they want to or not. But the good news is, the only part of them that has to die is a freaking ego.
What's one of those, Dad?
Who has to die, your freaking ego.
What's one of those, Dad?
Yeah. Great.
What's an ego?
You know, I almost died the other morning, and I was really calm.
What?
Because I almost died the other morning. It's the strangest thing. I was taking my B12 in the morning. It's liquid. And for some reason, it was like an empty bottle, and I poured it, like, to the back of my throat. My throat started to close up, and I could not breathe, and it was closing and closing. I ran out half naked into the street, and I was going to knock on my neighbor's door, and I was standing there, and I couldn't breathe. I was really calm. Because I was like, you know what? I really don't like it here. And I know that Alex Collier just said, when you die and you see the light, just turn around. I was like, you can take me right now, or you can leave me and let me breathe. Because, like, I have no fear of death, because it's like just what you're saying. You're going to die one more time. Like, so you got to live in that moment and just trust. And then I finally did breathe. But it was the weirdest thing. It was about a half hour. I was, like, on my knees, but I was like, I was just worried about my bird, to be honest with you, who's going to take care of him. But, yeah, you're right. You're right. We're going to die one more time. We just have to turn around to that place.
When that part of us dies, it will become transparent as though it never existed.
Yeah.
That's what color it's going to die, transparent.
You know, there are timelines that my guys have been talking about, the way that timelines work. They're very organic. They're like a tube. They're like an umbilical cord, almost. And you can travel up and down these things, or, you know, or something. But that they, if it's only attention that gives them life. And that's why they try and fill us with ideas of doom and gloom, to try and create these doomy, gloomy timelines. But it's very easy to kind of, remove your attention. This is the whole key of what we need to be doing, what we need to, what we must do, whatever. But in order to get to the good things, right, what we need to do is to, in order to get to the new things, how can I say without the word need? All right, forget it. Look, here's what you do. You focus on what you always wanted. You focus on what you love. You focus on what you thought you would do when you were a kid. You focus on all of those things that are not hating something or anti something or pro this or, you know, it's just do the thing. Just do the thing. Do you know what I'm talking about, Sherry?
It's absolutely true. And beyond that, do the thing and don't be embarrassed if someone sees you, and don't be embarrassed to stand in your light and keep doing it. Because what happens is, if someone catches you being a child, I am a child every day. I don't care. My mother's an artist. I was kind of raised a little strange. But you can't do it and, like, run and, like, pretend, oh, you know, that's not, you know, because then you didn't really get the whole thing and you were dabbling. You got to stick with it, and you have to learn how to play again. You've got to go back. Think about what you did when you were a child, what was the most fun, and do it, whether it's Play-Doh, building, you know, Lincoln Logs, a tree house, you know, playing with water, sand, making a mess, a good proper mess. You know, like when I spill something and, like, beans or milk, you know, goes everywhere, I laugh. I will never get angry that I broke something, or, you know, you can't get caught up in those kind of things. But I think playing is, like you said, JP, it's so important. It took me a long time to learn how to do that again, because we're so programmed and conditioned to hate the child within us and suffocate it, because that light is what they don't ever want to come out. And so, you know, all the programming goes against, you know, be here, do this, be that person, want this, want to buy this, want this person with you. You know, it takes you away from digging a hole in the dirt, which is looking at gravity, color, how did this get here? What is it made of? Who put this here? Why is it here? Why am I looking at it? It's beautiful. I wonder what it tastes like. You know, like, those are thoughts we should be having. but it takes a lot to get to that. A lot of undressing, taking off all that clothing of work, of bills, of does that person like me? You know, where should I be in the world? What should I be doing?
So, Sherry, we're talking, there's this thing, like some people say psychopaths, other people say reptilians. They're essentially, we're talking about characteristics of a certain class of being and state of being that they realize, or I don't know if they realize, it's not even in, I don't know, because we're talking about beings with different vocabularies, aren't we? Mm-hmm. The communication is the problem, because one person might say one word, which means one thing if you're a reptilian, and another thing if you're a Pleiadian.
Yeah.
And that's the problem when things get, you know, that's why billion-year wars start.
I think it goes so deep because I can't even talk to my best friend sometimes. It's, you know, nobody can hear each other ever. I don't know. I guess you're right. Oh, yeah, being telepathic. I mean, that might have been the last time that we ever really were honest because nobody can hear each other anymore. It's not even, like, it's weird. Your friends can't even hear what you're saying sometimes. You know, I think that's also timeline stuff, too. You have a thought and you're like, you know, you're in a different place and then people are considering you in another place and you're like, yeah, it's weird.
Well, you have to stand your ground and make sure that the place that you're in is firmly established in the vibratory matrix of the reality that you're creating. You know, as opposed to just kind of
incredibly
sitting
alone.
Yeah. Well, okay. You know, there's you're a lone wolf, right?
Indeed.
But there's a thing, we're a pack of lone wolves.
Yeah.
We're a flock of black sheep as well.
The thing is, if they put us together, we would just be an island and it would be the same problem as the Agartha network. They, you know, we would just disappear and not want to deal with anyone. We had to be spread out. We had to be alone or this wouldn't have worked.
Yeah. Nobody would guess. So then everybody uncovers and knows what we're supposed to do somehow. But a lot of people really are like, they're getting a lot of information. And let me say, you know, I'm looking at these things that I was receiving 11, 12 years ago, from these beings that I call my guides. And I was writing it down and I'm reading it back today. And it's all about today. It's all about what we're doing now. And it makes total sense. They got lots of names for things like new paradigm workers. Mm-hmm. I like that, don't you? New paradigm workers.
I like that.
So I bought newparadigmworkers.com, I think. And I gave them, you know, various websites. And they're saying just stuff that is really coming to the fore now. So today we have this big distraction. But it's really distracting everybody from the fact that they've stolen loads and loads and loads of money. And they're trying to distract you from the idea that there's anything but thievery and bum diggery that goes on in the whole.
That's a very
situation.
Interesting thing you're saying. I think that's what led me to all of this because I know these people. I know what they have. I know I buy it for them. I kept saying, where's the money? I know that there's billions here and I know how many of you have it. You're all friends. I can count on. It's amazing to me that the trickery that nobody even realized it's not here. That's literally what led me down this road. I kept looking around. The roads are broken, all the fences, no, the buildings, everything's ruined up. Where is it? Well, we know where it is.
Mars? Mars?
Yeah.
Yeah. Europa?
But you know, it's funny that everybody thinks that all of these people have all this stuff. They don't, it's not that. You can't have that many yachts. We don't have that much water.
It's underneath the Clinton Presidential Library with that 5,000 square foot penthouse that's on top of it.
No, I never thought of that. Wow.
Did you know there's a 5,000 square foot penthouse on top of the Clinton Library?
I didn't, but that just totally resonated. Yeah, resonated. Wow.
There's pictures of it. You can go look at the library online, and you'll see there's a penthouse right there on top.
Oh, yeah, you started. So the debates are on now, I guess. That's got to be crazy. That's out here near me. That's about a half hour from here.
So we were betting. We have the bets from Sean sent me them earlier. Did you hear that bit, Shari?
Yes.
So we have all the bets there. And what do you reckon? Do you reckon anything paranormal is going to happen in the next hour or so? That could. Hey, why don't we just manifest a paranormal event? Right, something like Hillary's clone malfunctions, or Donald's wig malfunctions, or there's a wardrobe malfunction that shows them both to be complete robots and idiots in front of the entire American audience. That maybe, hey, wouldn't it be cool if they got into a scrap? Oh man, that would be great. Proper politics, like it used to be. People used to really fight in politics. You know, the whole thing about like politics is like be polite to your enemy, who you would otherwise slice in half with a sword. You know, separate them by in the parliament where you can parley, you can talk. In other words, parleys has come up this evening several times.
Well, you know, their voices have changed so much over time, they would sound like a bad recreation of Edith and Archie Bunker.
I have a question. Alex Collier seemed to really infer that this cloning technology is coming out soon to the mainstream. Is that before the election, after the election?
It's going to have to be after the election when they finally announced that Hillary died like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
You know, this is going to be a Mandela effect thing. Oh, Hillary, yeah, she's dead. Poor her. You know.
I told someone today.
She didn't let go. You know.
They just looked at me like, you know, I'm crazy, but I stand my ground, and I have the ability to stare into your pupils and not move. I can stare and make someone very uncomfortable. And she was just looking at me, waiting for me to give, like, say, uncle. I'm like, I'm not moving. I'm not budging. I believe it. She was like, it wigged her out. And then I had to explain to the girl sitting there about Plato's cave, the allegory, how there's a bunch of people, a family, a civilization looking at the light flickering on the walls of a cave, and that's their world, and they've been there forever, and they don't know anything but that. And one person jumps up and says, you know what, I'm going to go outside the cave and see what's there. And he sees birds and water and the kinds of life, and he runs back in. He's like, oh, my God, you guys, there's stuff out there. They're like, no, this is all that there is.
That's like my friends. They come around to my house and do that sort of thing. They say, come out. Come on, I say, no, there's all these chemtrails up there. I'd rather be in my little tin roof, you know. But, you know, call me old-fashioned. And with my chickens, they have their own little village.
If little I had chickens, I wouldn't leave either.
Little reptilian village it is. And they're laying, they will get laying two by two every day. Bless their hearts. Peckity and Buckety, they're now finally, they feel at home, everybody feels happy.
Do you really look at their feet? Their feet really do look reptile. It's
yeah, scales like reptilians. Yeah. And there was a whole funny, you know, thing about chicken and fish over the holidays. Well, that was another thing. But anyway,
your guest said before about the birds, I found that really interesting. I am an avid bird watcher. I watch birds for hours every day. I communicate with them. I have a parrot who's 25. I have not heard or seen birds in a few days. He is absolutely right. It's a large part of my relaxation, I'd say. It calms me down. I don't know where they are. Maybe they know the election is happening and they skip town.
Well, you know, I'm wondering
if they're in the world that we're going to.
Yeah. I wonder if we can just keep the illumination going. Keep the lights on until everybody's gone, and let this one drift away, and we'll see you in the morning, kind of thing.
Mm. Oh, that would be so nice.
Isn't that what you're talking about, Thomas?
Yeah, then I wouldn't be in pain anymore.
That's right. So.
Finally get to wake up with a 5'6" blonde that and just tell me what to do. And then, you know what?
What I'm about a 4'11" blonde? How about that?
Woohoo! No,
she's smoking, you know. 20 a day. No.
Little English woman is what I'm looking for. A little English woman.
All right.
And I'm not worried about whether we're going to have a good time or not, because I'll always get the last words in an argument, and those words will be, yes, ma'am.
bless your heart, Thomas. And your liver. And maybe your spleen, too.
Yup, yup.
Actually,
I'm going to say that to somebody. Bless your spleen. And just walk away.
Bless your spleen. Bless your overworked adrenal glands. Bless your prolapse womb.
Hallmark card right there.
Yeah.
You open it up and the music plays.
I would really love to, I'm sure there's an app, right? But wouldn't it be cool to have an app that had all of these things, like, you know, that I could do, you know, when somebody's walking around and they're talking, they say something really fascinating that you could go,
fascinating.
You know, just on the thing. I have to do the voice with my, or, you know, just to be able to have like.
Was that Mr. Spock?
Yeah, that was Mrs. Spock. Look, I've even got one of these. Isn't that cool? And even the obligatory, and people do this as well with their mouths. But wouldn't it be cool just to have one of those just around with you? A little sample. I'm sure
that.
You could do it on a smartphone. You could easily do a smartphone thing that'll do that. I'm sure that actually they exist, and you can
listen. You get a skateboard, a little Back to the Future stuff happening.
Yeah.
Get an old DeLorean. You can do it.
Yeah, a DeLorean. Now that would
there
be cool. But I live in an old Scottish track, and it would. The DeLorean is about like 3 inches off the ground, isn't it? It's really low.
There might not even be any left. I have no idea.
But it would be cool. But you try opening up doors like that. Under a bomb, you know.
Knock an old lady over.
Yeah, that's around the high street. What's that? Anyway, meanwhile, where were we? Deb's out driving, so nice one, Debs. It's, isn't that amazing? It's amazing you can get internet things on the road in America. We don't have that stuff over here. This is like, that's like sci-fi to us.
Wait, what? You can't?
No, we can't get internet on the road yet. Not here.
That's terrible.
Are you serious?
I'm serious, yeah.
I'm moving there. That means that you're not fried in Wi-Fi then, right?
Yeah. We're in old-fashioned places that have moss on
them. Oh, no. That's a beautiful thing. You don't want to be as advanced as us. I have more Organite. I have electric Organite. I probably have about $1,000 worth of Organite sitting around me. I just ordered Elite Shungite, regular Shungite. I got the Shungite stickers from
Nancy
Haggy Shack. I mean, I am, and I feel it in my teeth. I feel the waves enormously. You're very lucky. You're very lucky that it hasn't gotten that bad. It's very hard to sleep. You know, you feel like a vibration, constant vibration.
I do live near an RAF base, which has like 3 major aerials within, well, line of sight of me.
Still,
looking
still.
Like they can beam microwaves across to the moon and back, you know, in their power. But, you know, the Wi-Fi is fine as well. Actually.
Okay, I'll go. I told you I'll go one better. I live about a half a mile from the world's second largest hadron collider. So there, I win.
Okay. So do you get time dilation effects?
And also Montauk, Camp Hero, that chair is about 40 minutes from here.
Are you ex of Montauk?
I am very close to Montauk, yeah.
I know some people who were ex of Montauk in previous lives, and that they kind of come back and, like, they know stuff.
It's a very weird feeling here. Uh-huh. And also Pindar Vineyards.
Pindar Vineyards. Hang on a second. Pindar Vineyards. You have entered the zone.
I love it. Yeah, Pindar is out here, and so it's kind of, I call it the Bermuda Triangle here. Something is very strange. Very strange here.
So how strange?
There's still skulls by
Tell me, here. Tell me a kind of normal strange thing that goes on around this, see, I believe that that colliders, right? It's not about the collision, it's about the opposition. It's about the opposing fields, the opposing rotating magnetic fields that they spin against each other. They create time dilation effects like de Glocker, don't they? They're creating.
Yes, like, it feels like we're trying to hold on from that sweeping us up here. You're constantly trying to hold on to a tree to feel like you're holding on to something. It's a very strange feeling.
Like there's a great big sucking wind drawing it all in.
Dark. Heavy. Dark, negative. Heavy. Sad.
Nazi. Nazi, pure Nazi. So yeah. That certainly needs a bit of love virus, doesn't it?
Everybody notices it here. Most people that I know that live here want to move. It's a very, and it's a beautiful, you know, it's expensive, you know, some of the most expensive real estate. It's a beautiful area, but it's a funny, weird thing happening.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, so that could do with some light on it, couldn't it?
Yes.
So is it within the view of the Statue of Liberty? Or let's say the Statue of Isis? Hang on. The Statue of Isis?
She can't be Isis. She doesn't have any eyes.
I think her eye makeup has worn off.
No, she got a blindfold on. Oh, that's Justice.
That's Justice, isn't it? Yeah, not Liberty. Justice. Liberty can see pretty well. She's got 20/20.
Wrong statue.
Yeah, and it's not like, how tall is the thing, the Statue of Isis? Because it is the Statue of Isis, and they called it the Statue of Liberty. It's actually that.
Oh, the one that you go up her skirt and the bronze one in the harbor?
Yeah, the whole big bronze one, yeah.
How tall is that? I don't know, 80 stories? No, I don't even know. I don't know. I'm having a vision.
Bloody large. Bloody large, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I went up in grade school. I don't even know if you can still go up. Yeah, it's huge.
Did you go to the top? Can you get to the lamp?
Yeah, we went up to the lamp, but I don't think you could do that anymore.
Yeah, so it's interesting, Isis holding a lamp. Who gave her the light? Who gave her the lamp?
As Rolls-Royce says about the horsepower and their cars, her height is ample.
Who gave Isis the lamp?
Well, the French did the whole thing, didn't they?
Yeah, but come on. Who gave Isis the lamp?
Oh, Lucifer.
Really?
I don't know.
Interesting.
I'm asking you.
I'm wondering.
Oh, it might have been Thomas Paine.
Thomas Paine. What was a pain in the Thomas ears? So, could have been Prometheus, couldn't it? Just saying.
Could have been Andronicus.
Yeah.
Might have been useless, self-knowledge, but way by.
It's funny. I was making a laugh doing my Metis voice. It's great when you got a character, you can do things.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's been a very strange week while I was away, hasn't it?
Yes.
Not because you weren't here.
Not because I wasn't there, but in its own right, it was getting, I knew things were getting strange and things were getting very tense, and I needed to step away for a moment and do something very different. And that's what I did. But everything else was getting tenser and tenser. So, Shari, what's been going on?
JP, you gave me such a gift when I heard you talking about the vacation. And I was so happy that you were having a good time.
I did. I gave you a gift. How does that work?
Okay, so you gave me a gift where you said, I just did what I felt like doing right that damn second. And I tend to push time a little bit because... when people are around me, I feel like I fall into their time and I don't like that. I want to be off time. And what you gave me was this gift to go, nope, nothing else matters except what I feel like doing right this second. Do you want to go left or do you want to go right? And it was a gift because you took away the time. You know, you gave me back the presence of now. It was great. So thank you.
You're very welcome. So, that, I give credit where it's due, comes through Bartzis talking about no time. We're in a time, we're in no time.
Yeah, I've heard you say that, yeah.
And that's the beauty, you see, alright, so this is the thing that you've been chasing all your life. This is the romantic ideal. The thing that you're chasing all the time, right? But, because time is the thing that separates you from it. you think it'll happen in the future if you do these things. But that's just like a ritual. The actual thing is to know that you are, you know, love is always where it is. You know, you can't lose it or find it. It's always where it is. It's where you are that's the problem.
Exactly. I got lost in the ritual. You let me recognize that there was a ritual so I could see it and erase it.
Thank you.
I got lost in that because, you know, like when you're younger,
that's what it's for. That's what the ritual's for, is to lose you in the whole drama of the thing. It's like all the soap operas or your Simon Cowells, a.k.a. the Jimmy Savile of today. Mark my words, brothers and sisters.
What? Ooh.
Hang on, really? Let's have a quick...
Say that again.
Simon Cowell. Simon Cowell.
Are you kidding? Okay, I'm
He bailed out Jonathan King. Jonathan King. You know who Jonathan King is?
No, I don't.
Well, he tried to, I tried to shag everybody and everything, especially
Not
the
me.
Boys.
Oh, maybe. I don't
especially
know.
Especially the
he
boys.
Did.
Okay. he had a series of hits from the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. They were absolutely rubbish records, right? They're just like really annoying little hooks. That's what he did. And, they pushed them so many times, they repeated them. It was like mind control. And he made, you know, he got to number one, and he always had these different personas that he hid behind. So it was never like Jonathan King singing this. It was like the this or the that. But, anyway, so a few years ago, he's busted as a pedo. And so, who gets to bail him out? But Mr. Cowell. Hang on. Simon Cowell. Anyway, so I believe, that whatever Jimmy Savile was in the days when he was Jimmy Savile and doing what Jimmy Savile was doing, the equivalent person in today's media event, BBC, Global, Pedophile Network, indeed Simon Cowell. Anyway, mark my words. That's all I'm saying. Watch this man.
I wonder if we're ever going to know all of the stories. Are they going to go into the Vatican? Are they going to open? Who's going to tell us the story? Who's going to tell us all the stories?
The natives of this planet who are left, we managed to scrape together and sort of find a safe, secret place for them to hide for a while all the crap goes on. Including Thomas and his people. You got some old stories. War Spirit Radio Archives is a place that is going to have those kind of stories, because we've spoken to a lot of people about the galactic history.
I want all this to be a bad nightmare. I don't even want to think about it anymore. I want to be wherever we go to, and that's it. I don't want to look at any of this. This stuff is a bad dream.
A shriveled up, dried out museum piece that only the deepest, darkest academic would ever deemed to be worthy of investigating. Everybody else should just forget it. I totally agree, Thomas. It was just a bad nightmare, and we shouldn't do that again. Put that one down.
That's right. I don't know who made that bad answer for the party, but no more. Never again. Never again.
I'll get that, Oswald. So,
no more LSD. No more LSD like that. Just no. I don't know what they mixed it with, but that was some bad stuff.
With crack cocaine. Oh my god, imagine that.
I'm the only person that's ever done a drug deal on your show before JP.
Well, JP and his, meanwhile.
Remember that?
Meanwhile,
a stately Wayne Manor.
I always like this one. It brings everything back to a sort of semi-focus, as if there was actually a focus to the show. Cause tonight is open night, and anyone from anywhere has come in, and,
I am anyone from anywhere.
You're a glove puppet. What are you talking about? You're a crocheted glove puppet.
How can I take you seriously?
My aunt made me that hat.
Is that a hat?
Looks well, like... you know what's funny about that hat? So I collect prints, frog princes. My whole life I've collected frog princes. And what is Simon Parks tell me?
What a princess you are. Frog princes.
What does Simon Parks tell me? I have to watch the Prince Charming video.
Ah.
So it's like I collected the thing my whole life I had been seeking to unlock me. It was very strange.
So you have the frog. The frog is the key. What is the story of the frog, do you know?
My mother always called my father Prince Charming because he was kind of grumpy and never spoke in the morning. So she had a plaque made up and it was said Prince Charming. And I took it with me when we moved when I was little. And I've always kept it with my prized belongings. And I started collecting frog princes, frogs with crowns. And I have hundreds of them and people would buy them for me because you don't always see them. Well, then I, you know, Skype with Simon and he said to me, you have to get a video called Prince Charming. I said, excuse me? I was like, that's not even like, you can't even say that to me. I'm like, I have frogs everywhere. How could I have been searching for this my whole life? It's, and that's the universe for you.
You see? That name rings a bell. I went to a place called Dingle.
What, like, is it, what happens there?
Wow, that was a very interesting thing.
Is it food?
It's actually, there's a convent school, so a Catholic university thing.
Dingle?
Dingle, yeah. All over on the Atlantic side of Ireland.
Is there anything like Dingleberry?
Yeah, I'm thinking it's, you
know
it's like the word fag, it's like a cigarette, like I just went over the ponds and got, we think of that word as a different word.
I know, juvenile interpretation, isn't it? It's terrible.
I'm a child.
That's what I thought I'd
it's
ask.
Terrible. But you see, you think, if you have a young you think you are, Shari. Thomas is like at least 3 years younger.
Oh, I'm about six.
All right.
So you're three?
Yeah, that's about right. That is about right. Tracy, am I right? Yeah. Anyway, she'll agree with me in a minute. But anyway, so... But we love you, even though you're a three-year-old, Thomas. Three-year-old Sasquatch.
I'm not 3 years old.
How long does Sasquatch live?
Usually between physical age on this planet, between 110 and 140 years.
And they're in the fifth dimension, correct?
They can go back and forth between this density and the fifth, yeah.
Yeah. How cool is that?
Pretty soon we're all going to be in the fifth density and none of this garbage will exist anymore.
Fingers crossed, legs crossed, toes crossed, eyes crossed.
Oh, yeah.
Heart open.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, 644. And there's a possibility, right? Everybody is faced with these possibilities right now to take an opportunity to step up and become the thing that you think you ought to be. You're given an opportunity. We are being given opportunities right now to step up and become the person who we imagined that we could have been maybe 5-10 years ago. It's all about to come true for you now.
The fact that I can say what's on my mind and not be locked up is a dream. Because I had to keep my mouth shut for how many years because I thought they'd lock me up. So that's a gift in itself.
I remember when we were young and we thought the world was going to end in the 1980s or something. Like the 90s was going to be like nuclear winter. And so almost every day in the 2000s, I think, oh, well, at least we have this, you know, we're not walking through a nuclear nightmare. But here we are in 2016.
Did we think that? I didn't think that. I must have been drunk.
My generation. My generation.
Okay.
You know, I have to die before I get old because it's going to be crap. But anyway, we've survived. Here we are. Things are still holding themselves together, except... there's a whole bunch of nasty Nazi bully boys going around the planet and hurting people very badly. And I want that to stop.
Who's with me?
Me.
Yeah? Les, you know, who's with me and like making, every time we see something like that, trying to find a better way. You know, choosing love instead of choosing anger or ego or self-indulgence.
Some of them can't. I don't know that some of them can.
Well, we have to find a way, even if they can't. That's what Quantum Leap's about, isn't it?
How do we get power back, though? How do we get the power back from... Yeah.
Powerlessness? If you feel powerless, what's the deal? What's the lesson?
I don't know if I feel powerless. It's just that I know these people, and they're just never going to give up what they believe. Like, you know, I dated people, you know, and like, I don't even want to go, you know, like give too much information out, but just some, there's ancient bloodline, you know, they think that they're still making good on, you know, you killed my, you know, grandparents 100 years ago. It's that weirdness.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Ancient blood feuds.
Yeah. That stuff. I don't know how you get to that. I hope the off planet can help a little with that, because that's what I mean about the power. I mean, I don't feel that anyone has power over me anymore.
My feeling is that, something larger comes and picks them up by the tail.
Yeah. I think it's what has to happen.
That's what I have to do to my Roger, to my cockerel, right? When he starts to attack me, I have to master him. So I chase him around, roll him over, pick him up by his legs. He's got no power anymore, and he has to succumb. And he lays there, and I tickle his stomach until he lays flat like a spread eagle. Lay him down. And about 10...
I can't wait till we tickle a reptilian spread eagle.
Yeah, well, look, there are giants among us here. You know, somewhere, there's going to be someone who's big enough that is just going to teach them a lesson.
Yeah.
So, we have friends. There's lots of people here who have, you know, maybe, you know, again, people are very, we have to understand that what we believe, like extraterrestrials, are, they're not aggressive. It's only the Dracos who are aggressive. All the rest of the extraterrestrials are very, very gentle. The ones I've met so far are gentle. Really, like, they don't want to hurt anybody. They don't want to touch anybody. Because we emanate such energy from ourselves that it makes them feel sick empathically. Isn't that right, Thomas?
Makes me feel like a leech.
Well, you know,
you can't come near me because I'm so emotional. It's like, but you try to be here for a couple of years and see how it works.
Yeah, it sucks. You never. You said that we put it in the small print. Oh, right. Yeah, the small print.
Yeah. Whenever I hear Barbara Marciniak and the Pleiadians really scold us, I'm like, you know something? You get your asses down here and do it better, because there's pressure on top of the psyche. You can't just do what makes sense and what's logical, because you're forced not to.
Yeah, this is Planet Stupid.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're doing very well, I think.
I think so.
Isn't there I don't know if it was a science fiction film or some actually inside a thing, is that actually within the environment of the planet Earth, there's a kind of field, like a magnetic field, but it's a field of stupid. You know, it just surrounds the planet like a blanket of stupid. And we're forced, like you say, to do stupid, repetitive things instead of being creative and divine. And that's...
A lot of us are implanted.
Yeah.
I think a lot of us have a lot of trouble with that.
Yeah, and that makes us do stupid things as well and freak out and, you know, lose friends and stuff. We know. We know what happens. Yeah, you try and tell anybody what's really going on and they don't really understand. And because they can't let themselves be horrified like that.
Exactly. It's too painful for their soul or psyche in that, in this life at this time to even allow the information because something very, very bad happened that they haven't found yet.
Well, nobody's really managed to shake off that initial trauma. That's where I'm going with this. So we've got to find a way of, releasing the shock trauma of the human and the abandonment trauma of the reptilians. That's the, those are the things, you know, shock and exposure. That's the things that we do to each other.
I think it's about to be done for us.
Expand, sir, expand.
Well, with everything that's going on, I'm pretty sure the planet herself has decided that it's time to change everything. I don't know if you've been watching the fluctuations in the solar stream, the magnetosphere of the planet, everything that's going on right now is building up to critical mass.
I just say wear a clean pair of underwear at all times because it's about to happen. Just get ready. Just get, you know, it's the one thing you can do. Just
a pair of Depends may help. You know, you might need to like hold it in for a while.
Just be clean. You never know when your next shower is going to happen. And,
exactly.
And
exactly. So we're going to need to know how to look after ourselves. There may be emergency services. Indeed, each other. There may be an emergency services that don't come. So
the first thing you have to do is quit imagining how bad it's going to be. You have to start imagining how good it's going to be.
Yeah, because now it's a blank slate.
Right.
So you can create something new.
And how are we going to do this and that? Well, you're recreating things that we've already done. Yeah. We don't need that stuff anymore. Let the family that we're going to be reunited with, let them show us.
I always like what you said, JP. They have no idea who they were messing with. I think that this is going to go quickly. I think people, when it all just happens, it's going to be fast. People are going to be so uncomfortable. People here have not been uncomfortable like they're going to be, and it's just going to change so quickly.
Yep.
You know, they say those 8 years, it's people here will not be uncomfortable for a long time. It won't sit, and they're creative, and we do have that, you know, ingenuity thing where it's, you know, like build something because you can. That's what we're, you know, America, just, you know, like figure it out, and we're going to come together and do this. It's going to be like miraculous. There's going to be like crazy water parks and, you know, it just, you know, the smartness, the architects are going to get together with the engineers and it's going to be fantastic.
Oh, no, I don't want crazy theme parks. I want marijuana theme parks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why bother with a whole park when you can just have a sofa? Come on.
Hey, man. Give us a little thing to put over our head that projects holograms into our brain and let us get high and have fun with the hologram.
Oh, how very Wild Palms of you. Oh. Did you guys ever see Wild Palms?
Yeah. With that James, man sounds dirty. James, I'm sorry.
It was a miniseries with James Belushi and, what's her name? She was in Sex and the City. She's the very...
Sarah Jessica Parker?
No, the smoking one. Kim Cattrall. Yeah, that's sure. Right. James Belushi, Kim Cattrall. It was like a kind of mini Twin Peaksy sort of thing. Fabulous series. If you can get it on a torrent or something like that. Oh, did I say torrent? Yeah, torrent. By the way, torrents are ways that you can get downloads of all sorts of very interesting things that people have made collections of over the years, and they kind of pass around, and you just kind of do a search for them, and they pop up. And
yeah, viruses. I used to download them, but they would scare me.
Well, you know, people who are doing proper things don't put virus in it. You know, if you're doing improper things, you're opening your way up. You know, so it's, you know, people who are sharing their music are not going to stick viruses in it. Mm-hmm. You know, and I've always gone by the kind of goodwill attitude, the Ubuntu attitude, which is you give something out. Eventually, everybody gives everything to everybody and everybody gets what they need. This is the whole, idea of what the future of my timeline is going to be, is that
Michael Tellinger.
Michael Tellinger, but, this is the galactic way.
Yeah.
Is it not, Thomas? Only on this planet do you have to pay rent.
As far as I know.
That's so embarrassing. They must laugh at us. Do they laugh at us?
They eye roll, I think. It's an eye roll and face palm, you know, one or the other.
Face palm. Oh, God, I'm so embarrassed.
This is what my guardian angel looks like. You know? So, yeah. We're right out of time, actually. It's been a very interesting journey in this boat of Ra across the night with first of all, Thomas Hughes and Rackmeister. And
we're surprisingly getting more than 50-50.
50-50, because there are ladies present, glove puppets present. Shari, it's been lovely to have you on. Of course, you're not a glove puppet. But you understand about the whole kind of glove puppet thing. And that's a very nice thing to know. You spoke with great wisdom and experience. Thank you.
Thank you, JP.
So, this has been Journeys with JP. Back up from my journey. Off on another one. I'll see you next week. We'll see what happened. How is your journey going to be this week? What's going to be the theme? See if you can see a theme that goes through a week, like a running gag. I'll take those odds. So what do you reckon? Do you reckon Hillary and Trump? I reckon Hillary's going to malfunction in a serious way. Clone number 37. Has definitely been put out of order. I think we're number 47 by now. I think once they get to 50, they're going to think this is rubbish. They're not going to last. We can't afford any more. The budget's run out. There aren't any more Hillaries. This has been Journeys with JP. Everbeyondradio.com, WallStreetRadio.com, FreedomSlips.com. I love you all. Thank you. Good night.